We must be willing to let go of the life we planned so as to have the life that is waiting for us. Joseph Campbell.
Empowerment in education. Two powerful elements that will help you break free of convention and transform your passion for wellness to a level beyond the status quo. The Essential Oil Revolution, where you're given the tools to supersede an ordinary everyday lifestyle. Inspiring speakers, DIY recipes, healthy living tips, and more. You'll discover it all here. So tune in and get ready for a wellness revolution.
Welcome to the Essential Oil Revolution. I'm your host, Samantha Lee Wright, and I hope that you are having a fantastic day. On today's interview, I talk with Josephine Spilka, and we get into all sorts of topics, from the proper way to store and preserve your essential oils, to the evolution of humanity, to openness, and so much more. I hope you enjoyed today's interview. Before we get to that, though, let's pull a recipe out of our DIY dugout. This is the segment of our show where we pull a recipe that has been submitted by you, our amazing listeners. And I absolutely love this recipe. This one comes from Shaina Arb in Hermitage, Tennessee, and it is for Autumn Taste Good Toothpaste. To make the Autumn Taste Good Toothpaste, you'll need 4 tablespoons baking soda, 4 tablespoons coconut oil, and 5 drops orange oil, 5 drops clove oil. Simply mix them all together in a glass container and use like regular toothpaste. Thank you so much for your recipe, Shaina. We really appreciate it. If you have your own recipe that you've invented, if it's a diffuser mix, a straight up replacement for a cleaning product, anything that you use essential oils for, just make sure it's original and send it to us at DIY@revolutionoilspodcast.com. When you do, you get entered to win our monthly giveaways automatically, where you can win a bottle of orange essential oil and our favorite ebook, chock full of essential oil recipes. Learn more at revolutionoilspodcast.com.
Hello, dear friends. In today's world, it's hard to maintain balance in any area of life. This includes in regard to our hormones. Let's face it, stress impacts everyone, and this affects our hormones. Compound stress on top of an already fluctuating cycle, and not so happy symptoms can result. Thankfully, we have essential oils to tame our mind and body, but a lot of times, many women need something more to keep their hormones at a healthy level. And that something more is where Happy Mammoth comes in. And right now, they are generously offering you 15% off your first order when you visit happymammoth.com and use promo code REVOLUTION. Happy Mammoth is a forward-thinking, all-natural wellness brand. They are obsessed with empowering people with quality natural health solutions aimed at promoting total body health and vitality. I love their comprehensive formula, Hormone Harmony, which contains herbal extracts that help to support hormonal levels, stress, mood, resiliency, and blood sugar. In fact, it contains adaptogenic herbs that help the body adapt to any kind of stressors. This can help to keep hormones in much better balance. Due to its synergy, Hormone Harmony formulation can be used for women in perimenopause, menopause, and any female with symptoms of hormone imbalances. What I love as a naturopathic and functional medicine doctor is that their products are third-party tested for quality and purity, free of heavy metals, and free from artificial fillers. For all these reasons, I am confident recommending Happy Mammoth to my clients and grateful to be supplied with my own bottle for a happier mood and less bloated belly during that time of the month. I am so pleased to have a company that stands behind women's health and optimizing wellness through science and education. So please support Happy Mammoth and the show. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with promo code REVOLUTION at checkout. That's Happy MAMMOTH.com and use promo code REVOLUTION for 15% off your first order. Hello, dear friends. As an essential oil user, I know that you have probably come to not only appreciate, but to actually expect the powerful shift in emotions that you can get instantaneously when smelling your essential oils. When someone's dealing with the complex emotion of grief, life can get pretty heavy. Although emotions and essential oils can both be good allies, sometimes more is needed. I want to introduce you to a new podcast called A Place of Yes that is now available wherever you listen to podcasts. The host of the show is Heather Strother. Heather actually had a severe loss when she lost her 4-year-old son, Jack, suddenly to medical complications. 13 years later, now Heather is sharing the only way that she could move forward from the loss. This was by channeling her grief for the good and finding a place of yes. Now, her and her husband have created a nonprofit organization called Jack's Help from Heaven. Since then, they've helped hundreds of families with medically fragile children raise more than $1 million to help them to purchase with items that are not just medically necessary, but also convenient. Their goal is to improve the quality of life, and it offers you an opportunity to learn strategies to cope with grief and how to truly be there for someone that you love that is grieving. Now, sometimes the guests aren't just talking about the loss of a child, but the loss of a life they thought that they were going to live. And I know that we can all relate to that. Please listen to A Place of Yes now wherever you listen to podcasts. And also visit our sponsor at jackshelpfromheaven.org/news/podcast and learn about Heather and Brian's incredible nonprofit organization.
Well, I'm here with Josephine Spilka, who is living with and loving essential oils and Chinese medicine and has been for over 25 years. Josephine Spilka has a private practice in classical Chinese medicine. Her studies include food therapy, essential oils, herbal medicine, stone medicine, and classical Chinese medicine. You can join her at thenectarofplants.com for essential oil education and application tips. Welcome to the show, Josephine. How are you?
Well, I'm delighted to be here. Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming. I always really relish chatting with people who have knowledge in Chinese medicine specifically. I don't want to play favorites or anything, but Chinese medicine just has such a rich history. Can you just give us a little brief insight into that?
Sure. So Chinese medicine, which these days is sometimes called East Asian medicine, Oriental medicine, I think the best way to talk about it is it's energetic medicine and it's relational medicine, meaning in the Chinese medical view of our bodies and our lives, we see ourselves in context, as in always in dynamic with whatever circumstances we find ourselves in. So rather than isolating aspects and studying them in that very specific or narrow way, Chinese medicine is all about how can we see ourselves in this larger world and how can we see our relationships with all the different things in our world. And it originated with people who investigated that themselves, who actually sat down and sort of tried to understand what was happening in their bodies and in their world from the inside out. And they always see themselves in that almost, you could say, cosmic relationship in a way, which to me is very exciting.
Yeah, like, what do you mean by that? Yeah, cosmic relationship, like our relationship between us and the stars and how that impacts our bodies. Like, are you talking,
yes.
Are we getting into astrology here?
Well, and astrology is certainly included because this way of looking at medicine doesn't exclude almost anything. Nothing is really excluded. So we're looking at our relationship to the earth, to the air, to the sun, to the plants, to all the different things in the world. And at any given moment, you could say it's, well, roughly 50% what we bring, our bodies, and then another 50% what the world brings to us.
I've never thought about it in that way. I really love that. How do essential oils tie into Chinese medicine? It doesn't really tie in traditionally, does it? Is it kind of more of a modern adaptation kind of influencing it?
Actually, essential oils can be found in very ancient texts because it was there's been the science of sort of steam distillation of plant essences for a long time. And the way they were used in Chinese medicine, they were distilled and kept in the monasteries, because this is where the traditions could be kept alive, sort of from generation to generation. And so, you know, they keep the plant lore and the living or current plants, you could say, but they also distill and use the essential oils in a very different way. I guess the thing that is really amazing about essential oils is that their substance is this almost DNA of the plant, and then their aroma for us is a part of our relationship with the world, of what we call Wei Qi, or some people call that defensive Qi. So, like I said, we're always thinking about that relationship. In fact, Chinese medicine, Qi itself is a relationship, and there's all different kinds of relationships. So the aroma has the relationship with the external world, and the substance itself has the relationship with your core, your essence, your own essence, what we call Jing essence, which makes them amazing to work with.
Yeah. Do you have any tips for people who are working with essential oils at home and keeping that in mind, that Jing and that essence?
Oh, well, these are things you probably already know, but you know, the thing about essential oils, because of their aroma, they're so volatile, meaning they're, if they get exposed to heat or light, their essence will remain, but their aroma will evaporate. So their ability to move our relationship with the external world will decline, where the substance, the actual liquid, you could say, won't necessarily decline.
So your tip is essentially safeguard your oils from sunlight and heat and yeah. exposed air.
Which probably everybody knows anyway, but I think
no,
it's interesting.
You
know
what? I feel like not. I feel like a lot of people don't know that. I think it's been a while since we've really talked about, you know, the storage of essential oils and how important that is. And, you know, a lot of people get really excited when they get a bunch of oils and they want to put them out in all the pretty places. And there's nothing wrong with that per se, unless that pretty place happens to be right in front of a really bright window, right?
Oh yeah,
you wouldn't want to have those oils under that direct sunlight constantly, and you know, preferably we're putting them in a cool, dark place.
Oh yeah, I keep all of mine in the closet, and you know, I mean, it's true. I open the door and look at them a lot because I like to see them, but definitely they're going to keep better and be more powerful if we don't allow that aroma to escape. I mean, it's also the aroma reducer on the top that you want to be sure is in place. And a lot of times what I notice is there's some distributors that don't put in the aroma reducer, particularly if they're for perfumery or cosmetic application.
And by aroma reducer, you're talking about that little plastic thing
on the top that helps to prevent some of that aroma from escaping right away. Because some oils, depends on the oils too. If they're top notes, they're gonna be right up there running at you right away. So they're gonna degrade much faster. The base notes, the things that don't come popping right up, like patchouli or sandalwood, these kinds of things, they're going to be less volatile in that way. They're going to keep longer, actually.
Yeah. Well, this is so hard because for me, and I'm sure a lot of people out there, it's like an out of sight, out of mind kind of thing, you know, like the same with my vitamins, my supplements, like if they're not right there staring me in the face all the time, then I just don't use them as much. So, you know, what I've found to help me, you know, is A, if I do have my oils out, I want to make sure they're at least in a dark bottle, like an mm-hmm. amber blue or mm-hmm. brown bottle. You know, I buy from a brand that happens to know this, and so they put all their oils in a dark glass bottle, but they also go a step further and protect the whole bottle really with their label.
You
know,
yeah.
Like that's not an accident. You know, they're like, no, there's some brands that like to put, you know, just a clear label all around because they know people like to see the liquid inside. And it's like, well, you know, it's really not the best for your oils. But I also like to try to keep my stockpile of oils at least in a dark, cool place and then just sort of bring out the ones that I'm actively using and preferably put those into smaller containers that are maybe like a pre-diluted mixture with a carrier oil or a rollerball. And this is something I never thought to ask myself until this conversation, but do you know if mixing the essential oils with a carrier oil, does that help prevent that volatility? Because does the carrier oil kind of trap it in, for lack of a better word?
You know, I think it can. Depending on the carrier oil, you know, some of the carrier oils, especially the lighter seed oils or nut oils, they're going to be more, those are going to react to oxygen, right? They're going to react to being exposed to air. So they're going to degrade themselves. So they're not going to be that helpful. But if you add a little vitamin E, and you could also add sometimes rosemary, things like this that actually preserve, they act like preservatives. So if you have something like rosemary in your blend, it's going to help keep it for longer.
Is that because of the sort of antibacterial properties of rosemary specifically, or is there something else about rosemary that makes it a particularly good candidate for preservation?
I think it's the antioxidant quality.
Okay. That's great. Well, I love these tips. I mean, this is super, super helpful. I think it's a great reminder for people to know because, yeah, if you're investing a lot of money in these oils, you don't want to waste them. You want to keep them healthy. Keep them vibrant. Now, Josephine, one thing that you're here to talk to us about today is your work around openness, which I'm really excited about. That something that you say a lot is that make openness your best defense. Let's dive into that. That's a scrumptious saying right there. I want to hear more.
Yeah. So I began to think about this a lot in the last couple of years because of our pandemic, but always in teaching about relating with the external world and how we stay strong and how we stay healthy, I always say openness is our best defense, because if you imagine being inside and all the windows shut and all the blinds shut, you can imagine that when you hear or, you know, sense things that are happening outside, that produces fear in you because you can't see what's going on. So in a way, we're talking about opening the senses so that we can make a relationship with the moment, and therefore we can actually respond accurately rather than respond out of fear or confusion. And the thing that essential oils excel at because of the aroma is opening the senses and awakening and enlivening us, bringing us into the moment with their aroma. So immediately then we have the potential to make a very powerful and precise relationship with whatever is happening. And we can't do that if we're closed. We can't do that if we go in with a rigid idea either, which is a way of being closed. You know, there's the physical closing, like having your eyes closed or your blinds closed. And then there's the emotional closing, which is going in with a projection or an idea about how things are. And
What is that? What's an example of what that looked like during the pandemic, for example?
Well, I think a lot of people were feeling afraid, obviously, and working with their fear and not knowing how to relate with people from the place of you might be contagious, you might be making me sick, and which is really hard for us because we actually are social beings. We actually want to relate with other people, but then we develop this whole fear of actually having a conversation, being in proximity to somebody. So I am suggesting, or I'm thinking that when we, well, with essential oils especially, we can feel that we have the capacity to meet those situations with strength and, you know, looking at the person in the moment rather than saying, I can't talk to anybody because everybody is a threat. And you may not know whether or not this person is contagious, but you can still care for yourself and be open to that person. They may have to stand 6 feet away from you, and they might be wearing a mask, and you might have ideas about what is going on underneath their mask. But in fact, well, I think we can be available as human beings to each other without that overlay of wondering what might be going on under their mask, and just relating directly with what we sense, what we smell, what we feel, what we see. And I think that's challenging. I think it's very challenging with a mask on, to be honest. I think people are so used to seeing people's faces and seeing the mobility in people's faces. And some people have more mobile eyes than others. But when you lose the mouth and the what we in Chinese medicine, mostly what you see around the mouth is what we call the stomach channel. It's how we take in a lot of information. So,
It's been hard. I think everyone's experience. I mean, no matter where you lay on it, I don't want to get into a debate about mask mandates and vaccines, you know, all that stuff. Whatever your feelings around the pandemic, you know, without a doubt, it's the mask wearing has been really difficult on everyone because of that we are social creatures aspect, especially, you know, not being able to see faces. I always think about babies that are growing up during the pandemic and going, oh my goodness, like, what is this doing to their brains? This is the weirdest blip in our human history, you know? And it's just, I'm such a social creature too. And at first I was like having a hard time understanding, like, what is she talking about? Really, this sort of openness, you know, in this scenario. But I'm kind of thinking back and you just remembering that there were certain days that if I would go out and I would see, you know, everyone in their mask and you're seeing signs everywhere and, you know, you're wearing your mask. And it was really easy to kind of fall into this, this emotion. I'm having a hard time putting a name on it, but just this sort of, I guess, closedness would be a good word for it, of just, okay, I'm here to do my thing. You know, I'm not going to, you know, look at people. I'm not going to interact with people. I'm not going to be open to those around me. But for the most part, I would sort of take an extra effort to try not to do that. To, okay, even though, you know, we're in this really weird situation right now, I'm gonna hug people from afar, you know, make that you kind of hug yourself symbol, you know, or, you know, I would just do that with people all the time. Be like, I see you, you know, I wish I could hug you. Or I would open my arms, even though we wouldn't necessarily embrace, and do that with people. And that made a huge difference, I think, for myself, for them, and that openness. So yeah, it's really interesting.
Yeah. And I think, again, it's our capacity to sense that and feel that in our own bodies that we, even behind the mask, have exactly what you're describing, which is perfect, right? The openness, the willingness to be available as a person, you know, just as a person in that situation, and we're all in it together.
Yeah. Now, what we briefly touched about essential oils on this and how it relates, but, you know, tell me more. What kind of essential oils would you recommend for someone who is trying to embrace this openness more, and how would you use them?
Yeah. I love to share that, because the two, what I call front line for this, are eucalyptus and tea tree. And they're so easy to get, and they're so perfect. And I'll
is there
share
a certain
a little bit
species
about,
of eucalyptus you would recommend?
Well, so from my point of view, eucalyptus globulus is the best for this, particularly for this current virus, pretty much for most viruses. The citriodora, the lemon eucalyptus, better for different types of infections, like that have a heat quality. So we say, in my way of thinking about things, that virus is wind and cold. And certainly with COVID, we've seen a lot of cold-natured symptoms. You know, loss of smell, loss of any sense is a cold blockage, from my point of view, loss of function. So Eucalyptus globulus, which is a little warming, is great for that. It's a little harsher than, say, radiata, which is the one I like to use for kids. And kids tend to run a little hotter. So we want something a little gentler for them. So radiata, which is also a little bit cooling, can also be used, but I really like the globulus for this situation for virus. And eucalyptus is all about opening up and letting go and allowing things to move in and out of your portals, you could say. It opens your eyes and ears and nose, and another way of talking about that is it resolves phlegm, and so it will help get rid of runny nose or phlegm in the lungs or in the ears. And so those two things are kind of synonymous. And the other piece about eucalyptus that's so beautiful is that it helps us relate with change. So for us, in my language, wind is equivalent to change, or the invitation to change. And so when we breathe in that eucalyptus, it's like we get this just blast of oxygen that these trees can bring us, and it allows us to be so much more available, so much more open to what's here in the moment, and then to let go, to not stay stuck, you could say. And you know, stuckness looks like closed down, and also stuckness can look like blockage of your orifices, your, you know, stuffy nose, or your blocked ears, or your phlegm in your throat kind of thing.
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about stuckness lately, and I love that, you know, one of the things we wanted to talk about with you as well was evolution and change. And I don't know, I think I've been kind of thinking about stuckness, the opposite of that is unstuckness. But really, I like, there's much better words for that, is evolution. I love that you just use that word. Relate to us essential oils and evolution or change.
Yeah. So plants, you can see plants the way they, their form responds to circumstance. Like you can see, I have a jade plant here in my office, and literally it turns to face the sun, you know, so quickly that I have to turn the pot literally every 3 or 4 days because it's just moving to meet the sun. So this is a quality of a plant that actually helps us adapt to circumstances. And this is evolution. And actually, if you do that enough, the DNA, the structure will change. Like, I mean, we've all seen this, like plants growing in these bizarre places and they develop this very bizarre shape. They kind of like turn the corner and then they, you know, and you're like, how do they maintain that shape? Well, actually their structure has adapted over time. And it's you can read about epigenetics. It happens to human beings as well. You can take a pair of identical twins, and over their lifetime, their experiences will change their structure. And by the time they're 40, well, you are a twin. You are a twin.
I'm an identical
I just realized that you look different than your twin. Yeah. And that is evidence of that epigenetic change. So the essential oils embody that for us. They bring us that message of adaptability and structural movement, because they themselves come from that in their growth and their life cycle, right? So then particularly the essential oils that come from the seed or the root, because these are the things that resonate, you could say, with our own essence in our bodies. So the carrot seed, the coriander seed, the caraway seed. All of these have a profound effect, fennel seed, anise seed, on our, what in my world is the kidney system, the essence and the Jing systems, kidney and bladder, and allow us to mobilize our ability to grow and change, which, that's a huge factor in our healthiness, and being able to stay healthy.
Yeah, I love that, especially when you were talking about your jade plant as well, and just how automatic that yearning for the sun is, right? And we think of plants as these very still things because they're rooted. They're literally rooted to the ground. They can't run. And I think about humans. Oh my goodness, we have so much freedom of movement. We can go anywhere we want. I mean, we can go up in the sky. We can dive down into the ocean. We can run up hills. We can swing. We can cartwheel and we can flip. There's just all of these things. But I've never really stopped to think about, what are those things that we are yearning for that maybe we're not recognizing the way that the plants just automatically go
I
towards the
love that.
sun?
Well, we do too. We yearn for the sun, which in my world is we yearn for sovereignty, for the capacity to sort of see our world from the big perspective. Which that word to me, it's an I like that word, even though I guess it conjures things for people that might be, I don't know, not as nice as the way I think of it, but I think of each of us gaining sovereignty over our lifetime, that we become more and more of who we are and more taking our seat in our world, but not losing our adaptability or losing our capacity for change, which is our strength. It's our strength, the fact that we are mobile, the fact that we can change, that we do change.
Josephine, do you want to give any last tips before we move on to our closing questions about how people can mesh essential oils and Chinese medicine together, or use these tools for aligning the heart for that heart-centered interactions or for that evolution of change that we've been talking about?
Yeah, I think the last thing I'd want to say is that just to remember when you use them, how powerful they are for the spirit as well as the structure. That we are simultaneously getting this aroma, but we're also, particularly if you put them on the body, getting the message from the plant and how precious that is, how precious that is for our own connection in ourselves. And the ones that I was thinking of for aligning the heart and will are neroli and rose, the flowers. The flowers are like the full expression of the plant, but they embody the fact that they're temporal and that they will go back to the root, back to the seed. So they have like this beautiful fullness and openness, and then they have this I don't know, you might call it sadness or letting go, but that goes back to our core. And this is, life cycles so important for our health and for our range, you could say, in our life, that we gain range of emotion and range of feeling that way.
Yeah. No, I couldn't agree more. I mean, we are designed to grow. We're not meant to just be born and you reach maturity at the age of 18 or 25 or whatever you want to call it, and then just stay. That's just not what we're meant to do. And so, yeah, if you find yourself feeling like I haven't grown, I haven't changed, and embrace the tools that you've got, embrace the essential oils, embrace the sun, embrace the movement of your body, and you have the power to change.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And they're so supportive, the essential oils. Again, from Chinese medicine point of view, they awaken and make the relationship with both the inner world and the outer world, right? The inner world of your core with their substance and the outer world of relationship with their aroma. So they have the power to activate both of those.
Josephine, this has been, just yummy. I love it. I love it all. Before you go, we always love to ask our guests a couple closing questions. And the first is, what's just one or two self-care practices that you try to do every day to stay healthy?
Well, number one is feet on the ground, bare feet on the ground for me. Connect with earth energy. And the other one that I try to do every day is nothing. Do nothing for some period of time. Mm-hmm. have an open space, a free space with no input other than your senses and your body.
I love that. And with the feet on the ground thing, I wanted to ask, what's your feelings on those sort of replacement things that you can buy for that? Like, for example,
the
grounding pads or the shoes that have like the copper in them, or the things you can plug it into, like the grounding plug of your home.
Yeah. I gotta say, I'm a fan of bare feet on the unobstructed ground, whether that be sand or rock or dirt. I'm kind of old fashioned that way. I'm sure that some of those things are helpful, but I think nothing replaces your skin on the ground, the same way like skin on skin for babies and bonding.
Yeah.
I just want
really no replacement for that.
Skin on the earth. It just seems.
Yeah. Well, especially skin on the earth too does require you to actually go outside, which is amazing how little people are going outside these days. So
back when I was in acupuncture school, literally I got frostbite in Los Angeles because it was 50 degrees at night and I was wearing very thin soled shoes and I was sitting very still at some event. And I went to school the next day and my teacher said, yeah, you need to walk barefoot on the ground and pull that yang qi from the earth. And I'm like, even in 50 degree, even in the cold weather. And he's like, every day. And literally I've done it ever since then.
Wow. I bet you have really tough feet.
Actually, I try to make them pretty. I try to, get off all the rough stuff in the bath. But they're happy to walk on the ground.
Well, finally, Josephine, what's just one thing that we should all ditch completely and replace with something healthier today?
I think we should ditch judgment and domination and replace it with what I call power with or collaboration, and really, really enjoy working with other people, working with the people and the planet together.
I love that. That's a great thing to replace judgment with. Could use a lot more of that. Absolutely. Awesome. This has been great. Josephine, for those that want to be more a part of your world or get started with what you do, what's the best place for them to go?
The best place to go is thenectarofplants.com. That's the focus on essential oils and education and Chinese medicine together. And if you want, you can sign up on the mailing list there to hear about new courses and things that I do. And you'll get a free 2-hour video if you do that, featuring me talking about three real life clinical cases with some students. And you can see how I employ them if you want to understand more about that.
That's really cool. I love learning from case studies. So I'm definitely going to check that out. And props on the domain, thenectarofplants.com. I love it. I love when I come across really good domains. I'm like, good for you. You snagged a good one.
I was shocked it was available, but it was a long time ago. I started officially teaching under that title in 2014. So
Wow, good for you. I love it. Well, thank you so much. This has been wonderful, and we really appreciate you coming to share your wisdom with us here on the Essential Oil Revolution. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Been delightful to talk with you.
The Essential Oil Revolution was created by me, Samantha Lee Wright. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you want to share this episode or any of our episodes with a friend, we greatly appreciate it. Just hit that little share button wherever you're listening. It's like, you know, the little square box with the arrow pointing up. Just click on that and you can copy the link and text it to a friend and say, hey, check this out. I think you'd like it. Thanks so much for being a part of our revolution here. We'll catch you here next week with a brand new episode on the Essential Oil Revolution. In the meantime, keep on learning, keep on discovering, and most importantly, keep on treating yourself well. You are worth it.